Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Are we going to, you want to do Wild Card Wednesday again?
Yeah, I think that was a hit.
It was. We had people text in and pick some songs, any song, right? From any artist. That's why it's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to, you know, for the bumps this morning, we'll do Wild Card Wednesday. So text in your requests, any artist of any kind, because it's Wild Card, man. Because it's a wild, wild, wild Wednesday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Hey, how's our morning zoo team doing? We haven't, I haven't really crossed paths with those guys lately.
I feel like some of them might be passed out trying to blow up all those balloons.
Well, you know, Steve Grzanich has to kick them out every morning now because he does his show from that studio that they're locked in.
So every time they deflate all the balloons,
yeah,
start all over
so
again.
So he's got to start all over again.
Yeah.
Foot Cheese has to start all over. For those of you who don't know, there is a morning zoo program here that takes over my studio. I'm the only person that uses Studio A here on WGN. Everybody else uses the downstairs studio, the showcase studio downstairs. And then some other people on the weekends and Steve Grzanich on the weekdays, mornings, use Studio B, which is just down the hall here on the seventh floor. But I'm the only one that uses this studio. And so as a result, there is a morning zoo program that comes in here that broadcasts to no one. But they think that they're, you know, broadcasting on a 50,000-watt radio station. And it's Shadow Bags and the crew. Foot Cheese, you've got the lovely Undergarment, Olive Loaf. Freeze Nuts, right? Freeze Nuts, isn't that his name? Nut Freeze. Who else am I missing? I got Foot Cheese, I got Olive Loaf, I got Undergarment, Shadow Bags, Nut
Omelet
Freeze.
Head.
That's right, Omelet Head.
Oh,
Claxton Fruitcake.
There you go, the producer.
Oh, the producer is Claxton Fruitcake, that's right. So they come in here and they're on, what's their, it's www, and I always forget the,
I think it's 102.7.
102.7, no, I know it can't be because that's an actual frequency. It's much higher on the dial. It's like 109.2 or something like that. Something like, oh, and by the way.
Woo!
That's right. That's the www.
Woo!
Yeah. So, have they pulled any stunts lately? Prank calls or anything? They've been making prank calls? You know, it's an election year, so they probably have a lot of, like, great stuff that they're doing. Did they prank call Trump at all? Could you imagine Foot Cheese calling up Trump? Yeah.
I think we would have heard about it.
Sure.
I think Trump would have called him a loser.
Well, yeah, he would have sued him.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Woo!
Yeah. So, yeah, they're in here. They mess the place up, but they do clean it up afterwards. And then they get locked back up into Studio B, which they are in right now, locked up. They slide food under the door for them every once in a while. The entire crew is in there. And they did a remote at Ed DeBevick's after they tore it down. After they closed Ed DeBevick's down, they did a remote there. And that was their most successful. That was their most successful remote of all time. Yeah. All right. Anyway. So, Legends of the Hidden Temple. This television show, I guess, is getting a reboot or a relaunch. And this really blew up all over my news feed and Facebook. And I had never heard of it before. And as a, you know, a person who prides himself on knowing a lot of really useless, stupid, moronic pop culture information, I was a little disappointed in my idiocy, quite frankly, that I didn't know what Legends of the Hidden Temple was. Now, I have a couple people who I'm working with who I'm significantly older than. And I'm looking at the thing right now, and I guess this thing started in 93. And in 1993, I was 30. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't 30 yet. I was 28 in 1993. So I think I was a little old to be watching Nickelodeon. Now, this was a kid's show. What takes us? Someone, if you guys are familiar with this, please someone explain what Legends of the Hidden Temple was and why there were so many insanely enthusiastic posts about it coming back.
Were you into it, Dan? Because I wasn't that much.
I remember, like, kind of being excited for it when it started, and then it kind of fell off.
I've been thinking those people were morons.
Yeah.
Well, what's the idea? It's a game show, right?
Right. So they were in teams.
Uh-huh.
And the teams were all like animals, like the green lizards or the orange monkeys. And there was three people in it? Like three people per team?
Three and three pairs.
Well, here, let me read what it says here on the Wikipedia. Because this is always correct, because it's Wikipedia. Legends of the Hidden Temple is an American action-adventure game show for children that aired from 1993 to 1995. In its first run-through, and in 1998 in reruns. Created by David G. Stanley, Scott A. Stone, and Stephen Brown, the program centered on a temple that was filled with lost treasures protected by mysterious Mayan temple guards. Wow. It's a good thing they got the show in before 2012. Kirk Fogg. What? What? Kirk Fogg was the host. Who the hell is Kirk Fogg? That's a fantastic name. I bet he works on the Shadowbag show with a name like that.
He's their political reporter.
Oh, he's been busy lately.
Yeah.
Following the Super Tuesday.
Apologizing to Donald Trump.
Yeah. He hosted the program, and he served as the team's guide while D. Bradley Baker announced and voiced the talking Omlek head or Olmec head. That's the symbol, I think, of the temple. He knows the secrets behind each of the treasures in the temple. Six teams of two children, one boy and one girl, competed to retrieve one of the historical artifacts in the temple by performing physical stunts and answering questions based on history, mythology, and geography. It was taped at Universal Studios, at the Nickelodeon Studios at Universal Studios in Orlando. So that was the idea. So it's six teams of two, one boy, one girl, and they had to do physical challenges and answer questions. Now, do you guys remember what the physical challenges were?
I know, like, they would, so there was, what did you say, six teams?
Yeah, six teams of two, of a pair, of a girl and a boy.
Yeah, they would cut some out because they would have to do this thing where they go through the water on that boat. Do you remember that, Dan? I remember that was in the beginning.
There was a moat, I remember that.
I remember they having to, like, get on a boat. And then a lot of them, because they couldn't really go too fast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
they cut out a bunch of the kids, like, right off the bat.
It was physical challenges that obviously were not very scary, because the moat was, like, a foot and a half deep.
I'm looking at the images now. They have the kids, like, in really bright yellow helmets.
Safety first.
And they're all wearing very brightly colored T-shirts to coordinate with their team.
Right.
You got to coordinate, as John Witherspoon would say. And I'm guessing that this stone face talks, because I see his eyes light up and it looks like his lips move.
Right. Yeah, it would ask questions sometimes.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, there was a trivia aspect to this.
Right,
yeah.
And he would ask the questions?
He would ask
like
questions.
Like Stone Face Johnson?
He and Kirk.
Kirk Fogg?
He would also give facts after the questions.
So you learn.
Yes.
All right.
All the things you earned were like historical items. Like you would get Ben Franklin's key from the kite that got electrocuted.
What the hell does that have to do with a Mayan temple?
Well, you're lurking. It's like an Indiana Jones thing. You're looking for lost artifacts.
I see.
And I remember the last you had to go through that course. That thing was rough.
The obstacle course?
Right. Because they had people hiding. They had guards hiding all over the place.
And they would like jump out and kill them?
Yes.
Would they kill the children?
That's why I got canceled.
That's why I got canceled, because there were 53 deaths of children.
So many murders.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it, and it looks like the children seem to have enjoyed it. I just want to see this dude talk, Stone Face Johnson here. There's got to be like video of video footage of Stoneface Johnson. Though that's the name that I've come up with. Talking. But the kids, like, they're wet. Do they, like, fall in water and stuff?
Yeah, they got to go in the moat.
Now, at any time, because this is a Nickelodeon program, do they get doused in goo?
I don't remember any slimings.
No slimings? Was that just exclusive to Double? No, it's not exclusive.
No,
that whole network is...
You can't do that on television, I believe, was the genesis of the sliming.
That was before Double Dare?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Young Alanis Morissette starred in You Can't Do That on Television.
Canadian. Yeah.
Young Alanis Morissette before she met Coulier. Maybe that's probably how she met Coulier.
Maybe.
Oh, here you go. Some of the teams were the Green Monkey, the Red Jaguars, Silver Snakes.
Uh-huh.
So they all had, like, stupid animal team names.
And evidently you can get the T-shirts, and each T-shirt represents the animal. You can still get the T-shirts.
No, thank you.
And so they dress Kirk Fogg in like cargo shorts and bad boots, and like a denim shirt. And he's standing next to Stoneface Johnson.
We have audio of Stoneface Johnson. We can play after the break.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll break and we'll come back.
So stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned, everybody, because Stoneface Johnson from Legends of the Hidden Temple, co-starring Kirk Fogg and the Green Lizards. I'm not kidding, though. I know you guys seem relatively underwhelmed by this.
Yeah, I'm not really.
My news feed exploded when they announced that this thing was going to come back or be rebooted.
Did most of the people on there think that they're going to be able to compete? Because you can't. Just gonna say that now.
I don't know.
They're gonna want grown people.
No, I know. I'm just thinking people were. It was like a lovely memory from their childhood that they loved this game show. At least that's the vibe I got. Oh, this classic show is coming back. It's the greatest show ever. That was the vibe on the news feed. I'm telling you, people went nuts. 312-981-7200. Text or talk. Legends of the Hidden Temple with Stoneface Johnson.
I want Guts to come back.
Guts.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right? Now, if you know what the Legends of the Hidden Temple, and if you're excited about it, because some of my friends went nuts, 312-981-7200. Well, I'm looking at the screen that I can see because Esmeralda is in the newsroom, which is down the hall.
I just came running back.
And there's a camera on Esmeralda where she sits, and I can see her through that. And she came in boogieing.
I came running. I heard I was at the microwave, and I just bolted back in. I was like, yeah.
I was so disappointed because I knew it was coming, and I was looking for your reaction when I started playing. I'm like, oh, where'd she go? And then
she came running back, though. She came running back.
She came running.
Esmeralda the Heart Melda showing up on a Wednesday. It's Wild Card Wednesday. 815 requested this one on Wild Card Wednesday, Yolanda by Reality.
Totally forgot about that song. So good.
No, I don't think I've ever heard it in my life.
What?
I'm serious.
That was a jam.
It was. It still is.
Who the hell is Reality?
I don't know, but I remember the song very clearly.
Okay. Well, that was requested by 815 on Wild Card Wednesday. And she's still singing the song, by the way. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The phone number for Talk and Text is 312-981-7200. We're talking about the Hidden Village of Hope. Legends of the Hidden Hidden Temple. And according to my news feed a couple of days ago, people who, at least my friends, or people that I'm friends with on the Facebookie, were very, very, very excited about the thought of having Legends of the Hidden Temple come back. And we've been talking about that, and Dan and Esmeralda are the correct age where this should have had some sort of effect on both of them, but it didn't. And you got some audio from Stoneface Johnson with Kirk Fogg.
Yes. So this is from the episode known as The Bent Shaving Pan of Jebediah Smith.
Wait, what?
As we discussed earlier, the aim of the game was to pick up historical artifacts. So in this case, we're looking for the bent shaving pan of Jebediah Smith.
Right.
So the kids do obstacles to earn pendants, and the kid with the most pendants at the end got to do the obstacle course. And if you found the bent pan of Jebediah Smith at the end, you won.
Right. And there's a giant stone face in this hidden temple that's like in the middle of this set, which is looking like a jungle with water and stuff.
Right. So here is Kirk recapping the results of the past obstacle, and Omak explaining the next.
Oh, it's Omak, Stoneface Johnson. Okay.
Yes. Ring over the basket. Come on over here, Sarah. Great job. Sarah did it one time. She remembered where she was at. Irish had a tough time. Sarah got all three pieces of food that gives the green monkeys the half pendant of life. Orange iguanas can catch up in the next game. It's worth the half pendant. Omak, tell us about temple game number two.
While clearing the long trail of rocks and debris, Jedediah and his friend Bill devised a game to make the work go faster. They tossed boulders over each other's head, and whoever could throw the most would get out of doing the dishes that night. When Kirk gives the signal, hurl the rocks over the net and throw the hole on your opponent's side. If you miss, grab another and shoot again. You can block your opponent's shot, but you can shoot only your own color rocks. The player that throws the most rocks through the hole in 60 seconds wins. And the other player has to do the dishes.
Oh, that's a drag. Let's set 60 seconds.
That's a drag. So that's Stoneface, his lips move and stuff?
Yes.
And his stone face?
His eyes are red.
His eyes light up red, and he's talking about doing dishes. Yeah. I'm so excited that this is coming back. We have to break. We'll come back and wrap up the conversation about the hidden legends of the hidden temple. all right. I have no idea why my friends have gotten so excited about this, but they are. All right, we'll take a break. News is next. Yeah, man. One of the greatest rock and roll bands ever in the history of music. Finally being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN with Esmeralda and Dan. And the 224 area code requested I Want You to Want Me by Cheap Trick on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, it's wild. It's a card and it's Wednesday. Now, Dan, as we all know, they announced who will be inducting Cheap Trick into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And some moron decided it would be a good idea to have Kid Rock induct Cheap Trick into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And but we do have some dissent among people with taste. Do we have the latest on that, Dan?
Yes. One of our listeners, Darren, who upon hearing this news, created a change.org petition to request Jan Warner not allow Kid Rock to induct Cheap Trick into the Hall of Fame. So he's already gathered 295 signatures online, and it's actually got picked up by a radio station in New Zealand who saw it and have started spreading the word as well. So
people can just go and sign, because I'll sign it. I'll be happy to sign it.
We have a link on our Facebook page.
Okay, go to our Facebook page, sign that petition to stop Kid Rock from inducting Cheap Trick into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because that is the worst possible decision and the worst possible artist and the most inappropriate artist to induct Cheap Trick into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So there is a petition that you can sign, and it's linked up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us, by the way. We want to hit 12,000 fans and sign that petition, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay. Now, here's the actual – now, you guys who are lukewarm on the Legends of the Hidden Temple, here's the actual story from Variety. When Viacom's Nickelodeon sketches its future for advertisers, one of the elements that we'll touch upon will be its past. As part of the presentation to promote its upcoming slate of programs, the Kids Content Media Empire will unveil a live-action TV movie that's inspired by the mid-90s game show Legends of the Hidden Temple. So it's not that the game show is returning. They're doing an action, a live-action movie inspired by it.
Sounds awful.
But Stoneface Johnson will be in it.
See, I actually am now interested because it's a TV movie.
I just think it's going to be super cheesy.
Oh, it'll be super cheesy. But it might be like Fuller House super cheesy where it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Ugh.
Are you watching Fuller House?
We watched the first episode.
Yeah. I had never watched the original, so I've no is it what is it?
I mean it's awful and it's the show 15, 20 years later.
Is everybody back?
Everybody but the Olsen twins.
Coulier.
Well, so it now focuses on the daughter and her kids and
oh.
So the first episode featured everybody, but then they all moved to L.A.
Oh.
But Coulier
would. Now, does this family have a creepy, unrelated dude living in the basement?
There is no creepy, unrelated dude in the basement so far. I have not
okay.
gotten too far into it.
All right. So that's that. And they're also going to do a two-part TV movie based on Hey Arnold.
That I'll watch.
Now, see, I know Hey Arnold. And that's going to be a two-part thing. And the company will also, they have happy reality programs like All In, an adventure docu-series led by Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, and Crash Leets, a half-hour series that will feature crazy viral sports clips. Yeah, Nickelodeon is back. I love that the only thing that anybody was excited about was the Hey Arnold two-part movie.
Because Hey Arnold was adorable.
No, you don't want to see the hidden adventures of the hidden legend of the temple?
Not of Stoneface Johnson, no.
Come on, it's Stoneface Johnson.
They could bring back Rocco's Modern Life. Oh.
See, now that show ruled. How did I not know about? Look, every one of these Nickelodeon shows that you're mentioning, I knew about and liked, and Legends of the Hidden Temple, and I was a maniac Ren and Stimpy fan, like a lunatic Ren and Stimpy fan, and I still maintain it's one of the greatest cartoons ever, and it rivals classic cartoons, and I'm including Warner Brothers, and I'm including Disney.
Did it get weird though once they decided to take it to Spike TV?
No, well, okay, let me give you a little brief rundown on, that thing was weird right out of the gate, Esmeralda.
No, totally, but it got even, like, it got creepy.
Well, what happened was, John Crisfalusi is the guy who started Ren and Stimpy. He's the creator. And he's a lunatic. I've had him on the show 3 times, and he's nuts. He's a genius. He's one of the most creative, original people. And he is an artistic genius, but he's insane. Like, he's nuts. Had him on the show 3 times. Had to hit the dump button on him multiple times each one of his visits. He's just nuts. Okay, so he is the creator of Ren and Stimpy. When Ren and Stimpy started, he showed a short. Big House Blues was the very first Ren and Stimpy. Now, the first time I ever saw Ren and Stimpy, Esmeralda, was at a screening of an animation festival that was going to play at the Music Box. And they were screening it for the critics. This was in December of 1990. So December 1990, we're watching this animation festival. And like most animation festivals, it's hit and miss. Some of the stuff is good, some of it's not. The last thing that they showed at this animation festival, the very last thing, ended up being the first, what ended up being the first episode of Ren and Stimpy, and that's Big House Blues, featuring Ren Hoek and Stimpy. And as soon as it started, I was like, okay, what is this? I remember I was sitting next to Dave Kerr. Dave Kerr, who at the time was a critic for the Chicago Tribune. He and I, I'm telling you, he and I were scream laughing through the entire thing. It is absolutely the it was the most insane thing I'd ever seen. And when it was over, I went immediately, when we ended, I immediately went to the press notes to look up who is this guy, who is the creator of this, because this is hilarious and weird and awesome and the most off-the-wall imaginative animated thing I have seen in years. And so I look it up, and I see it's created by this guy, John Crisfalusi, and it's going to be on Nickelodeon TV as a series. So, and this is no exaggeration, from January 1991, I would get the TV guide, and I would look at Nickelodeon to see what this Ren and Stimpy thing. It did not premiere until August of 91. So it was almost a year later of me scanning. You know, this was pre-internet. I would just look at the TV guide and go, this thing. And then finally, August of 1991, it premiered. Crisfalusi would always work. They hired him, but Crisfalusi would always work so close to deadline, and he would go over budget all the time, that the executives were like, you can't do this. You signed a contract. You can't, because Crisfalusi is a perfectionist, and he's crazy, like I said. So he would constantly make the executives wait for his episodes. Now, they'd always be great. They would be brilliant and crazy and off the wall. And then it got to the point where not only was he making them wait, but he kept putting in insanely inappropriate things. Like, to the point where it was like, dude, you can't have these jokes in here. You can't have this storyline in here, because this show is, you know, if you're on a kids' network. But his vision was much darker, was much crazier, was much creepier, and, like, much more sexual. So he kept pushing the envelope. They fired him. So he got fired. That show was on Nickelodeon. I want to say it was on for 4 seasons. He got fired at the end of the first season. So for 3 seasons, there were some half-finished or third-finished ideas that they finished without him. Bob Camp took over, and a couple of other guys took over. And Billy West, who did the voice of Stimpy, took over for the voice of Ren, because John Crisfalusi was Ren. But what he really wanted to do eventually ended up on Spike, Esmeralda. So his original vision, the dirty, crazy, loony stuff that he originally wanted to do, that ended up on Spike.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Well, I love it, but I will say this. It was too much. I think that the executives did have a point. There was this really great mixture. When Ren and Stimpy's early episodes from season one and part of season two, when they fired on all cylinders, it was genius and crazy and imaginative. Some of it was dirty, but not to the point where it would affect the kids, like it went over their heads. Some of it was like, wait a minute, did he just do that? And the subtext for a lot of them were downright creepy, but when he was given free rein, he just went nuts and blew a gasket, and it went in the completely opposite direction. And I understand how you feel, Esmeralda, but it was his. He wanted to do that from the get go, but I think he had gone crazier. Like he actually was going to sue the guys from South Park because of Mr. Hankey, because he had a talking piece of crap in one of his things long before Mr. Hankey showed up, and he was going to sue them. And he hated South Park. I had him on the air, man, and he went nuts. When I mentioned South Park, he started going nuts. And then I mentioned Space Jam. We talked about, because I hate Space Jam, and I think that that's just like all these great characters, these Warner Brothers characters, just like crap. And I mentioned Space Jam. He started screaming. I had to hit the button like 10 times about how much he hates Space Jam. You know? Luckily, he and I both like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Luckily, we both like that. I was a little terrified to mention that. And, of course, he had reservations about that, too. So, if you want to see the pure, unadulterated, absolutely mind-boggling insanity of John Crisfalusi, go to it. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I follow him. He's nuts. He's insane. He's creative. He's funny as hell. He's got a warped, twisted, dirty mind. And yet he happens to be the most imaginative animator since Ralph Bakshi. So, yeah, that's the I'm sorry I went on and on about that, but I was just like, I knew what was going on in Nickelodeon during that time period because I was watching Ren and Stimpy, and I can't believe I don't know about Stoneface Johnson. That's all. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and we'll come back. And we have a listener who's going to tell us all about Legends of the Hidden Temple. And then Esmeralda will continue on about Hey Arnold. I don't know. Okay. Well, we've definitely reached the wild card portion of the morning. What the hell is this? Oh, it's Shania Twain. Surprisingly, a woman named Dixie picked this. That's a shocker. All right, it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! Nick DiGilio here. We're talking about Legends of the Hidden Temple and Ren and Stimpy. By the way, the best episode of Ren and Stimpy, if you ever want to watch the funniest episode of Ren and Stimpy, Esmeralda. Dan, did you ever watch Ren and Stimpy?
Nah, it kind of freaked me out.
I can understand that. I can totally understand that. The fact that it actually took off with kids both fascinates and mortifies me. Because if I were like six and watched Ren and Stimpy, I wouldn't be able to sleep for a month. There's an episode called Svenhok. And this is where Ren's idiot cousin from the old country comes to visit. And do you remember this one, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
And he turns out to be a complete moron like Stimpy, and they get along together, and Ren goes off to work one day, and they go nuts, and they mess up the house, and he comes home, it's hard to explain, but Ren comes home. When I was younger, one of the tattoos, I was thinking about getting a tattoo at some point, at different points in my life. Never did. I was going to get the only tattoo that I was ever like very close to getting was the tattoo of the frogs raining from the sky from Magnolia on my arm. That was the only time I ever came really close. Never did. I was going to do it on my 50th. I was going to do it on my 50th birthday. But I didn't. So anyway, one of the other ones that I was going to get was a picture of Ren. When he comes home and discovers the house trashed, he's got a briefcase because evidently he's got an office job. Ren had an office job. This insane Chihuahua Ren had an office job. He came home. He's got like a business suit on, but no pants because he's a cartoon character. So he's got like a jacket on with a tie, but no pants. He's got a briefcase and he's wearing a fedora. And he sees the house is in, you know, a complete shambles, and they do how they put like the lines over the top of the head of a character to indicate that he's mad, that he's steamed. That image I wanted a tattoo of him. And then he proceeds to just come in and completely abuse these two people. And it turns into like this, it's like this insane sort of drunken father comes home and abuses the kids kind of feel. And that's exactly what I brought that up when I talked to Chris Faluzzi. He's like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted. He goes, I wanted it to be abusive dad comes home from work and beats the hell out of his kids. That's what I wanted. And I'm like, well, you got it. So that's the one that ends with them. They pull out the game. They're looking for games to play, and they pull out Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence. And then Ren comes in. He goes, you like this game? It's our favorite. You really like the game? And then he has a zipper in his skin so that he can unzip his pants. He has like a zipper in his fur. and he unzips his fur, and then he pees on the electric fence, and they end up in hell. Okay? They end up in hell. Okay? And the devil is sitting there. They enter in hell. The devil turns around. He goes, ah, you whizzed on the electric fence, didn't you? And that's the end of the episode. And it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Every time I see it, I am cackling with laughter. The first minute of it where Stimpy is just sitting there going, ah, and he's like drooling, and Ren's head peeks in and goes, you're an idiot. You know, it just like does the whole, I am so sick. Anyway, I'm sorry. I could go on and on about Ren and Stimpy. And I just want to say this. Dan, you never produced for me. You never had to deal with John Kay.
No, I did not.
Okay, that was Andy Herman. The three times we had him on, Andy was on. And Andy kept saying, listen, man, he's a terrible guest. He's crazy, and you don't know what he's going to do. He's nuts. And I'm like, I don't care. I want him back on the show because he's a genius. And I love Ren and Stimpy, and I love the other stuff that he does. Here's another one that was banned, that was never seen. I had a boot. It's been broadcast now, back when Spike picked it up. But there was an episode that he did that got banned, and I ended up getting a bootleg VHS copy of it. I was so obsessed. It's called George Licker, American.
I like that guy.
George Licker's the king! He's the best! George Licker is the best!
Was he the same one when they went to go visit?
Well, he...
They went to visit him.
All right. Well, there's a couple of George Licker episodes.
Okay, good. Okay, so then, but yeah,
the,
it is.
But the one, the one that got banned was when he bought Ren and Stimpy from a pet store and brought them home and abuses them for the entire episode. It's for the entire short. I never went into details, and I didn't ask John Kay if his father was a lunatic who abused him, but that's my thought process.
Oh, wait, George Licker. Okay, I was thinking of the old man.
George Licker is like the insane bald dude.
Right, he's the one that he put them in the dog show. Do you remember?
Yes, he did. Yes, I do.
He gives Stimpy a dew claw.
That's exactly right.
That's the only reason why I know what a dew claw is, because of the Ren and Stimpy show.
There you go. Okay, we have to break. I'm sorry. Rich, hang on. We're going to get back to you, I promise. We'll get back to Legends of the Hidden Temple. And then I want to talk about popular TV advertising mascots and characters that actually have fictional families and wives and stuff. We'll be right back. Well, did you ever wake up with them bullfrogs on your mind? Well, did you ever wake up with them bullfrogs on your mind? You had to sit there laughing just to keep on crying. Well, did you ever wake up with that one woman on your mind? Yeah. 608 area code requesting on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. The great Rory Gallagher doing Bullfrog Blues. My guess is that the person who requested this has in the past requested Thin Lizzy. That's just a guess. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been reminiscing about this show, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and then I kind of went off on a tangent about the insane brilliance that is John Crisfalusi and his forever great creation of Ren and Stimpy, and I apologize for that, but I love Ren and Stimpy very much. But now this Legends of the Hidden Temple is coming back as a TV movie on Nickelodeon, and it was a game show. And Rich is here to talk about it. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 59, and I used to watch it because it was like a live-action video game. You know, it was like one of them jungle video games where, like, the kids would do the challenges, and you heard them talk about the half pendant of life.
Right, right.
Well, they, you know, it takes two of them to have a pendant of life, and then the winning team, when they went into that maze and the, like Esmeralda was talking about, where the bad guys jump out and grab them.
Yeah.
Well, just like in a video game, if you were the team in there and you had like five pendants of life, you if they grab you, you'd give them one of them pendants of life, and you could continue on until you either finished the maze, ran out of lives, or ran out of time. So
you liked it.
Live action. Yeah, I did. I used to sit and watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then another off the wall question. You were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do the groups getting inducted get to choose who puts them in?
No.
They don't?
No, because if that were the case, Kid Rock would not be inducting Cheap Trick.
Well, now, I don't know. I mean, I like them both for different reasons, but they do have things in common if you sit down and think about it. Cheap Trick does a lot of things for Rockford and the community up there in Rockford, because I live just south there.
Yep.
And they do things for the kids. Kid Rock is from Detroit, and he does a ton of things for the city of Detroit to try to bring it back to life and promotes Detroit. So they both promote their towns, and they both try to make their concerts affordable for the average fan. You know, they're not out to make it a killing on each, you know, on each thing. So maybe Cheap Trick does like them for that reason. You
know? Well, all right. Now, I can understand that, and that's true. And when Dan and I first heard, and we had this discussion, and that's the first thing that came up. Right, Dan? That was the first thing you said, was because he gives back to the community of Detroit and because he's not about the money. Yeah.
That is the only connection I could
see. But they have no musical connection whatsoever. Nothing Cheap Trick has ever done is even remotely influential in what Kid Rock does. And this is that they're inducting them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not the Humanitarian Hall of Fame. This
right,
is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he is the wrongest choice that you could possibly have to induct these guys into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. You know, I mean, you would think if the Cheap Trick really totally 100% didn't like it, that they would say something, or maybe, you know, they'd still be in the hall if they didn't show up, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't think they're going to – I mean, they're not going to protest, you know, who puts them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, it's an honor to be inducted. It's just, you know, I think – I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous that – like, when they announced it, I was like, what, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, the first person I thought would have inducted them, I was thinking Foo Fighters or Dave Grohl would induct Cheap Trick. Or somebody who does pop, who does, like, you know, like well, who are some of the pop guys that would be good? Dan, like – who's doing, like, sort of like, you know, the pop rock stuff was big, like, you know, like in the early 2000s, you know, guys like people like the Killers and stuff like that, maybe. But that stuff's not as big anymore. There was that small window in the early 2000s, late 99s, right. You know, I don't know. Okay, Rich, thanks, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Take care.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich enjoys Legends of the Hidden Temple, Esmeralda, with Stone-Faced Johnson. How about this one? 847 area code says, I loved Legends of the Hidden Temple. Olmec, the giant talking stonehead, was awesome. And the final temple looked so much fun. Looked like so much fun. Okay. So this is a person who enjoys Stoneface Johnson. 309 area code says, these people are high. What does that mean? Dan, is that's the only thing it says? The text was just, these people are high?
Yeah.
Was he referring to us?
I'm hoping it was the show, but...
Or was he referring to the clip that is available on YouTube of Stoneface Johnson?
The timing did seem to indicate that he was reacting to the clip.
To the clip. That would be my guess. And then, but the next text is from the 773 area code. Even for late night AM radio, this show is pretty weird. This is not a weird version of it. This has been a relatively... We had a couple of tangents this morning, but this show has been much weirder in the past.
Yeah, I think it was referring to the Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Okay, I hope so. Because we can get weirder. I mean, it's seriously. I mean, you know, we can get much weirder.